How fascinating is this, traveling to other parallel universes? I'm going to ask Dr. Bruce Goldberg if he thinks extraterrestrials, UFOs, are coming from these parallel universes or from another planetary system within our universe. We'll check in with him and take your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, Dr. Bruce Goldberg with us. Bruce, I've always wondered about extraterrestrials, UFOs, if they might be coming from parallel universes because they seem to blink on and blink off, or if they're coming from planetary systems from within our universe. What do you think?
Yes, actually, I do agree that at least some of them are doing that, and there are other of my colleagues who also agree with that. Remember, traveling through wormholes, this is how time travels go back in time. So these ETs that have been around for millions of years longer than we have had our technology, of course it wouldn't be that difficult for them to master it. We're going to master time travel in 1,000 years, so that wouldn't be difficult at all. Then there's also the warp drive aspect. Albuquerque, the Mexican physicist in 1974, came up with this mathematical model for what's called AWD, Alcubierre Warp Drive, which is sort of like Star Trek. So if you can zip across the universe even beyond the speed of light, because you're now going from, you're using wormholes, which means you don't have to worry about how fast you're going and the mass of the vehicle increasing as you increase the mass. You don't have to worry about that when you're zipping along wormholes. So the answer is sure. I have no problem with that, and I'm sure that is some of the reasons or some of the ways in which they come here. In fact, it may be the majority. By the way, I just want to mention to you, for your listeners, 18 of my books are on audiobooks, so people who like to listen to a book in a car or other places and don't want to have to sit down and read it, they can also do that too. And in reference to the that free written exercise, I also decided to, for the first 200 of the callers that don't have a computer, I will also throw in a free access to the Akashic Record exercise so they can actually do what I did with you with the future life of Dexter Monterey and Zior, and they can actually use the Akashic Record scan. But those are people who don't have a computer, so do that. Now, I want to also mention kind of a news item thing here. I was looking at YouTube, and this is very interesting. There's a city in west coast of India, the northern part of the subcontinent, called Dwarka, D-W-A-R-K-A. Now, why is that relevant? From the 1960s to the 1990s, the government and various forms of researchers are doing research on sunken temples that were below in the water, the Indian Ocean, off of Dwarka. These stones were man-made. These were not natural. This looks like you might say, a broken-up pyramid or some sort of a physical structure. And the dating of the organic elements around the stones goes back to 32,000 years. In other words, this is a 32,000-year-old structure of sunken temples off the coast of Dwarka of India. Now, why did the investigation stop? The government stopped it. Somebody put the kibosh on and said, you can't do that. So here's an example of what I call the Atlantis of India. And if you read the Mahabharata, which I've quoted several times on this show, there was always this war between Krishna and the Salva people using nuclear weapons and described in the Mahabharata. And this is another example of how forbidden archaeology at its best. So we have now, off the coast of Japan, we have the Bermuda Triangle, and now we have India, all showing advanced civilization, building temples many thousands of years before written history or our records that we teach in school today.
Bruce, since you've been doing this, you've also dealt with energy healing. How do people tap into that to be able to do that?
Did you say energy healing?
Healing.
Oh, healing. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, healing.
Or feeling. It's the same thing.
Okay, well, I think I feel how we can heal. Okay. Basically, hypnosis is really nothing but a branch of shamanism. And shamanism, by definition, is energy healing. It goes back 50,000 years. It began in Siberia, according to paleontologists and archaeologists. So you have things like Reiki healing. You have the Ayurvedic healing of East India. You have Tibetan practices, acupuncture. All these energy approaches are nothing but energy healing. It is the first form of medicine that was ever around. You know, pharmacology has only been around for 150 years or so. This is the energy healing precedes us. Now, there's a group in Golden, Colorado called, it's the ISSSSEM, it's a bunch of S's, and it's an energy healing approach, which is with physicians, psychologists, physiologists, et cetera, which is the future of medicine. Now, they only have 5,000 members versus a million physicians, so they're a small percentage of the population in medicine, but it is the eventual healing. Now, the other thing we should learn about, or I've mentioned before just to review it, is the Office of Alternative Medicine in Bethesda, Maryland, which is a branch of the NIH. That's where the president gets his physical.
Right,
and the Supreme
right.
Court justices. You know, it's the number one clinical research and clinical center, a medical center in the world. The second one is Mayo Clinic, but the number one is NIH. Well, they developed the OAM. They set it up in the fall of 1992. And that what they study is shamanism. They study past life therapy is on there. They have a website. Just go on there. You can see all the disciplines. Acupuncture, guided visual imagery, all these what they consider to be the new age approaches are studied by yours and mine federal tax dollars. So shamanism, which hypnosis is a subset of, or energy healing, has been around forever. Now, what I do with this is a very natural approach where, remember, there's no drugs, there's no surgical or physical surgery involved. What I do is access the higher self and then using out-of-body experiences, going into the etheric plane where you can actually heal the etheric body, which is a mirror identical to the physical body, the only spiritual body that is identical to our physical body. And if you heal that on the etheric plane using these etheric plane surgeons up there, and we'll do other shows on that in detail because that's a very complex topic, then you can actually transfer the healing to the physical body and incurable diseases can actually be cured. I mean, it's not a given, please, folks. This is a low percentage situation. You got nothing to lose. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But
you can't get hurt.
You can't get hurt, and at the same time, I've had people make some unbelievable changes in their lives because of the... my book, Soul Healing, talks about a case of one of AIDS and one of cancer that was treated by using the etheric plane surgical techniques. And, it works, and it's something, it's another armamentarium that people can use in order to grow and to change their lives in a very positive way. Remember, going into the future is not a problem with the universe either, because there is something called forbidden knowledge, which means if you're not supposed to know something, me and my techniques and nothing is going to be able to get that information. But if you are supposed to know it, then it would. Remember that woman, the case I described, that Tammy case of the woman who went into the future and she avoided going on TWA Flight 800 on July 17th, 1996?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
She would have died, and in a parallel universe, she did die, but not in this one. She's still alive, okay?
Are they very much alive in the other universes, though? I mean, is it physical?
Well, if you're in the parallel universe where TWA Flight 800 crashed and you were on that, then you're dead in that universe. Like I told you, when you go into parallel universes, you and I are existing in an infinite number of parallel universes. We may not be alive on those parallel universes.
Right.
In some of them, okay? Some of them we may be physically even.
But
older
but if you were aware that you were in that universe, would it feel physical to you?
No, actually, it wouldn't, because if you were like going through a traumatic incident or a very happy time in your life, you would observe it, but you wouldn't really transfer it to yourself because it's a different universe. You were just watching it like you're watching a TV thing. Okay. So, by the way, the story that I mentioned about the Dwarka, the Dwarka, if you go on YouTube and Google that in the search engine, you can see a very nice, about 2-hour documentary of a researcher updating it and discussing that in detail. Some people have asked me about that, and it's very nicely done. And it's unfortunate that they're not doing research now, because somebody said, oh no, like this is a Man in Black kind of thing, you know, let's not release information that's going to go against our paradigms, you know. But it's a real thing, and it's kind of cool.
Bruce, does the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland near France, does that give you any more information to what you do?
Well, what they're trying to do, and the one in CERN in Switzerland is another one, they're trying to create exotic matter, which has negative mass, and we can't do that. If you create negative exotic matter, which has negative mass and negative mass and moves forward in time, the opposite of antimatter, if you do that, you can line a wormhole, assuming you can increase a wormhole to classic size, it's subatomic, then you can actually have a time machine. So I think that's one of the reasons why they're doing that. They're not telling you why they're doing it. Why else would you need negative mass, okay, in exotic matter? Well, what you can is Kip Thorne in September of 1988 wrote a very technical a scientific article, which I have a copy of, and it described the way in which advanced civilization can use exotic matter enlarging wormholes and create a time machine. This article was done as a favor for the movie Contact, which is based upon
Carl Sagan's book.
Carl Sagan's book. He's a good friend. He was a good friend. The late Carl Sagan was a good friend of Kip Thorne, and he wanted Kip to do an article or to give him some technical research to support his paradigm for the movie, of course, the novel, and eventually the movie. And he wrote a scientific article, which has been challenged many times and has failed to subvert it. In other words, the article written 29 years ago is still valid, and Kip Thorne is the genius guy. This guy is the guy who out-debated Stephen Hawking on the existence of black holes. So this guy's no dummy, okay? He's at Caltech in Pasadena. So the answer is, yeah. I mean, you know, we have scientific models. We have, but the super colliders are trying to get exotic matter.
Where does reincarnation fit into all this?
Well, reincarnation, first of all, it shows you that you don't just have one life and you go into a black hole for eternity. That's one thing. So it gives you the options for the future, and the purpose of all this is for ascension, is to perfect the soul, to eliminate the karmic cycle, to rejoin with your higher self, to become at one. That's what atonement means, at one with your higher self, to go to the soul plane, as we discuss, and then ascend and rejoin the God energy complex. That's the purpose. Being on this dimension is really not the ultimate coolness, okay? You want to get out of here. Don't want to have to reincarnate, but as long as you have a karmic cycle, as long as your soul is imperfect, as long as you have karmic debts that you have to work out, that means people and circumstances, then you're going to have to keep on doing this over and over again. So the answer is that reincarnation shows that we have a future life, not just past lives, and that we can access our higher self, use our spirit guides, which also help us, and to perfect the soul. Now, if you do that, you have two choices. You can be a Buddha type and help other people. That's what spirit guides do. Or you can simply go to the soul plane, shed your last spiritual body, which is your soul plane body, and then become pure energy and enter the eternal now of the higher planes and eventually go to what we call, my paradigm is the 13th plane, and rejoin the God energy complex and be perfect.
I was going to say, is that what Jesus did when he was crucified?
Well, yeah, except that it's technically, you say he was more of a spirit guide now, right?
Because right.
Technically, he's around people, you know, pray to Jesus and that. But basically, yeah, that was, or like with Buddha under the Bo tree, you know, when he got enlightenment, it's the same thing. You see, he perfected his soul, so therefore he doesn't have to reincarnate as he did 13 times for the Buddha thing, and now he helps other people attain their enlightenment. And that's what. But the point of all this is that people say, "Well, gee, if I only lived in Bel Air, California, and had like you know hot blonde servants at me, you know, this is not the ultimate goal." Okay, the ultimate goal is to leave the earth plane and all the other four planes that represent the karmic cycle, and to perfect the soul. And rejoin the God energy complex where there's no victims, there's no perpetrators. It's what people would call heaven or the Easterners would call nirvana. That's the goal. Everything else is subservient to that.
All right, let's take some calls here now. Let's go to Dan, truck driving in Oklahoma, first-time caller. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Good, Dan. Thanks for calling.
You kind of touched on it a little bit. I was wanting to know about CERN. You had a guest on yet last night on the 23rd of September or something. Well, also CERN is firing up that hydro collider on the 23rd. Could be a porthole to something evil. And I'm just baffled at this Mandela effect. And I think another guest that you should have on is Anthony Patch.
Okay, we'll check into that. Go ahead.
I would love to get back to the universe where Kit Kat has the dash.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks.
September 20th. Bruce, do you talk much about prophecy?
Well, prophecy is, remember, Nostradamus came up with the 1999 when the comet's going to hit the Earth. Remember that?
Yeah.
And people said, oh, he was wrong. Well, we didn't realize we went through a consciousness shift. Or, of course, Nostradamus could have perceived a parallel universe. But if you study Nostradamus's quatrains, and I have his, you know, well, he doesn't have a thousand of them, but he has close to it. There are many examples where he was right on. He predicted Hitler. He predicted the 9/11. He predicted the French Revolution a couple of hundred years after he lived. So he's really accurate. I mean, this guy, and those are prophecies. Technically, you could say those are prophecies. But he did it, if you read the very first quatrain, what he did was he shows his technique, and he had like this little, like a triangle kind of like a crucible set up. It was almost like the Greek oracles, the oracles of Delphi, trying to mimic that on a very minor level. And he showed his hypnotic technique, which is what he used. He obviously went into the future and accessed the Akashic records, and that's how he was able to see future events that people would label as prophecies. Okay, so prophecies, if properly done, can be very accurate, or they can be inaccurate, depending on who's doing it and what technique they're using.
Good point. Let's go to Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Hello, Walter. Go ahead.
Hi, George. It's great to be on with you once again.
Yeah, Walt.
What's up, Walt?
Well, George, with deference to the good doctor, I think he has his metric system a little mixed up. He says that the millimeter is 1/40th of an inch, but if I recall my metric system, a millimeter would be slightly less than 1/25th of an inch, because there are 25.4 millimeters to the inch.
Whoa, Bruce, you missed by a little bit.
Okay, so I guess if a universe is 1/25th of an inch away rather than 1/40th of an inch away, I guess I'm going to be in deep voodoo.
That's okay. That's all right, Walt, but thanks for pointing that out.
Okay.
Bruce, the Akashic records, who keeps the records?
Well, it's not a person. The Akashic records are actually a fifth-dimensional computer chip kept on the causal plane. We've gone through, like, dimensions. That's like a show in itself, but
yeah.
We're on the Earth plane. The next dimension is the astral plane, which has an upper and lower, and beyond that is the causal plane, which is the smallest dimension, and the causal plane is the actual seat, or you might say the location, of the Akashic records. Now, just because it's there, we can access the Akashic records from any dimension, including the Earth plane. Okay, if you use techniques like my Access the Akashic Records, that's one of the extra free exercises I'm going to give to your listeners that call in, the first 200 anyway, then you can access it from any dimension. And when people go out of the body, you know, when I train people to go out of the body, they go to what they call these learning temples. Each dimension has learning temples, and they will actually review their Akashic records. Now you say, how do you know you're on the causal plane? Because the sound, every dimension has a sound. The sound of the causal plane is the tinkling of bells. It's like you're in a New Age bookstore. And it's the very smallest dimension of all the dimensions. But you can access the Akashic records anywhere. But you're asking me, where are they stored? They're stored in the causal plane, but anybody can access it. Just like with a computer, you can access the Internet.
And it's your record of everything you do in your life?
Yeah, actually, it's a record of every past, present, future, and parallel lifetime. Okay? And the universe has its own Akasha, so you can access the Big Bang.
So if you access those records, you can see your past lives.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's how when I do a past life regression, that's what a patient is doing. Remember, I'm not a psychic reader. So people, they call me, they say, "Doctor, can you read me?" No, I don't do that.
You don't do
that. I mean, technically I could, but I won't, because I don't want people to be codependent on me. You know, I believe in empowerment, not codependency. But when a patient tells me about a past life or a future life, or the future of this life, as Tammy did, for example, or me getting your Akashic records from your Dexter Monterey and Zior's future life of yours, what they're doing is they're accessing the Akashic records with the assistance of their own.
Aha. Okay, Bruce, we're coming back with final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we're back with Bruce Goldberg. We're going to take final phone calls as well. Bruce, if somebody wants a session, if they want to get regressed, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Okay, they can go to my website. This is drbrucegoldberg.com. They can also call my toll-free number, 1-800 Karma for You, which is KARMA, the number 4, the letter U, or 1-800-527-6248. Now, if they want to get the free CD I talked about for the fifth dimensional travel, if they order the book Exploring the Fifth Dimension, they can order it online or they can call in the order. They get Exploring the Fifth Dimension, they get the fifth dimensional travel CD free with it, but they must get the book to get that. If they don't have a computer and they just want a written exercise. If they call the toll-free number, they'll get the first 200 callers will get both the access to the Akashic Records exercise as well as the fifth dimensional travel, and they'll also get all the information about my books and CDs, computer sessions, articles, information about the audio books. Everything is on the homepage, and those people that call in and don't have a computer, I will send them information about making private sessions too. So we can do sessions by FaceTime or Skype. I do
technology. Technology is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, 95% of my patients are done by computer now, so people don't even have to leave the privacy of their home.
It's the best way. Let's go to the phones. We go to Sean in Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Good morning, Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, George, it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for holding so long, too.
I wanted to ask your guest, if we do believe that souls do exist in all the parallel universes, does it exist simultaneously, or are we zombies in certain universes?
No, they all exist simultaneously. Right now, you are living an infinite number of lives at the current time. Again, some universes you may be, you may have died, or you may have chosen another path, but all these universes are simultaneous. Remember, parallel universes, one thing I didn't bring out, let's do it now, and I'm glad you mentioned this. Parallel universes are technically the fifth dimension. So when you're in the fifth dimension, you become, the term is ultra-terrestrial, and all time is simultaneous in the fifth dimension. So once you leave the Earth plane, and that includes going into a parallel universe, now all time is simultaneous. So therefore, of course, they're all going on right now. I mean, Lincoln is being shot, and you know, Buck Rogers is in the 25th century. You know, I know that's a fictional character. Everything is occurring right now. So basically, the space-time continuum is what we refer to it. But in answer to your question, yes, your lives are going on right now, just like in a universe. I gave an example. You might be watching an NBC show in one universe and a sci-fi show in another, but you're sitting there on the same couch, probably with the same family, and doing your thing. So
can you ever get to the point where you go to that other parallel universe and see yourself?
No, yeah, that's what happens all the time. How do you think I made my switch, and how do you think all my patients who've used the new technique? Of course, they see themselves and the events that are surrounding and characteristic of that universe.
Kind of neat.
See, it's like watching a TV show, except you're the star.
Veronica's with us in Irvine, California. Hello, Veronica. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. I have a question.
Okay.
Okay, I was younger at the time. I was like a teenager, and I was sitting down having coffee, looking out into the patio.
All right.
And I saw a mom and a daughter walk right through the patio and through the fence. You could see through them, but hear them very clearly. They were out shopping in a plaza area. And I was wondering, was I looking into a parallel universe?
Well, you could have been. You were obviously using your astral senses now, your fifth dimensional senses, not your earth plane senses. And you were most likely, if they were dressing in the kind of the clothes that was characteristic of that time era, okay, I don't know how old you are, but I'm assuming there are decades involved here, then you're looking at a parallel situation.
How, you know, there she is sitting on her patio and she sees this happening. How does that happen?
What happens is that, you know, there's a place in Gloucester in England where people have gone and they've actually seen, like, they think King Arthur fighting, okay? They've actually seen hologram images of events that occurred 1,500 years ago. So you can be sitting around. If you're in your earth plane senses as you are now, you're not going to see that. You have to be in what's called an altered state of consciousness, is what my colleagues refer to it as. I call that a natural level of a daydream or a hypnotic level. And once you're in the hypnotic level, now you can access into your fifth dimensional senses, your eyes, your astral eyes, not your earth plane eyes. In that case, then you can see into a fifth dimensional parallel universe. But you can't do that unless you're in that altered state. So what she was doing was she was actually entering a hypnotic level naturally. I wasn't there working with her or anybody else, I'm assuming here. And she just spontaneously go into, you know, one of the things that studies have been done to show that 80% of scientific discoveries, massive discoveries, or artistic inspirations all occurred during the dream levels. 80%. Now, when you're dreaming, you're in the REM cycle, you're out of the body. It's an alpha brainwave, but research has shown that you're actually out of the body. So these are just simply, now you're using your astral, let's assume it's the astral plane, it's the most common one people go to. Now you're using your astral or fifth dimensional senses, and therefore you can see things that you and I, if we're on the earth plane, in our earth plane senses, we cannot see.
Bruce, is a picture of the 1800s, it's black and white photo, obviously, of people milling around, and clearly you can see one person holding up what looks like a cell phone to his ear.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the one that was, no, I thought that was the, whatchamacallit, that was the Charlie Chaplin film from the
19. Yeah, it was a still photo from that.
Like 1950.
It was weird.
It was weird, but you know, there's even weirder things. There was a depiction of an Egyptian wall carving where some like person was going to the pharaoh's, I guess, wife, maybe a concert, and presenting what looks like an iPad to her.
Okay. Wow.
I'll get that for the next.
Yeah, I'd like to see. And didn't you also tell us a story about a guy who was dressed up in the 1800s garb?
The mutton chops, and he was the one who was killed in the cab.
Yeah, he popped up and got hit by a cab. So.
And they found out from his identity that he was from 1876 in Kansas.
Yeah.
And when they did the record check, they found out that the guy in 1876 went out after dinner for a constitutional after his meal, never came back. Ever.
That's weird.
And then he was, of course...
And we know what happened to him.
Well, then he was in 1952 or so in New York where he was killed by a cab driver.
So did he
teleported, but the teleportation didn't kill him. The cab driver killed him.
The cabbie killed him. That's right. Did he come from another universe?
No. He simply teleported forward in time.
Okay.
Same universe.
All right. So that's possible, too.
Oh, yes. No, people do... You know, of course you can. You can tell... Remember, the time travelers, when they teleport backwards in time from the 35th century and beyond. And we'll go into this next... The next show will be on time travelers. I'll go into all the details and all the scientific models of this, too. When a time traveler teleports back in time, he's teleporting back in time.
Assuming we live to the year 5,000 and we have all this perfection and we've developed time travel and everything else...
Yeah.
Can we assume that right now there are time travelers from that year?
Yeah, of course. Remember, all time is simultaneous. In fact, you mentioned a very interesting term. Maybe this is your subconscious, but when I deal with my work with time travelers, I've gone as far forward as the 50th century. So we're going to be around here in the 50th century, and there are time travelers from the 31st through the 50th century, and they do travel back in time, and they travel forward in time. So we're going to be around for at least 3,000 years. And every century that goes on beyond this one is going to get more and more positive. This is going to be a very spiritual path that we're on. I know people don't want to hear that, but folks, it's good news. Enjoy it, okay? This century is going to have problems up and down.
Yes.
But when you get into the 22nd century, it's going to be a nice ride.
Clear sailing. Robert in Ogden, Utah is with us, Wild Card Line. Robert, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just had a quick question.
Sure.
Your guest mentioned it's transporting your consciousness to a parallel dimension. Now, when you do that, do you retain all your memories from this dimension, or do you gain the memories
Very good question. Now, remember, your subconscious mind or soul is alpha brainwave. It's electromagnetic radiation, just like a television signal or this computer signal or a radio signal, okay? Now, you have a subconscious on each of these parallel universes. What happens when patients make the switch, because I've done this many hundreds of times, for the first 2 weeks of their switch, they still retain the memories of their previous universe. And then usually, after that, they acclimate to the new universe and the memories tend to disappear.
That's a great question.
It's a very good question, yes.
Bruce, I'm going to take a few more calls right before we're done. I want you to tell everybody about that book deal and CD again right before we get off. Laura in Cincinnati, welcome to the show. Hi, Laura.
Hi. Actually, I was calling to see if, do you have to be hypnotized to see? Because I had two dreams that were kind of weird, that like I was at the crucifixion.
When you dream, you are in a hypnotic level, okay? It's called the REM cycle. It's an alpha brainwave. It's very scientifically demonstrated. So if you dreamt that you were at the crucifixion, if you were there, you could be dreaming about a past life in which you were observing an actual historical event. So you're doing really the Akashic Record scan. You actually are accessing your Akashic Records. So you are in a hypnotic level. You have to be in a hypnotic level in order to do time travel.
Can you stumble into a different universe?
Well, yes, you can teleport. People have actually teleported into a parallel universe where they weren't trying to do that, okay? And they've come back and they've reported it. Many of my patients have actually reported that. I told you about the Tanya case, that teenager who,
yeah.
Now she was using my Customers on Your Own Destiny CD album, which people have asked me, that's the album you use to go into a parallel universe. And the one for spiritual protection is called the Spiritual Growth Experience, because I've gotten a lot of emails about that. But she was actually physically in that parallel universe and then came back.
Alex in Los Angeles. Hey, Alex, go ahead.
Oh, my God. It is a great honor to be on your show, George.
You got it.
Hello, Doctor.
Yes, Alex, what's up?
Hey, Dr. Bruce. My question is, if I have this strange feeling that I have somehow died and my consciousness has actually transferred into this universe. Wow. Are you aware of psychedelics and their uses? I mean, does it correlate anything with what you do?
Did you say psychedelics?
Psychedelics, or maybe ayahuasca, stuff like that.
Let's do this real fast and real quick, okay? You know I'm an activist in this field. Take the psychedelics and flush them down the toilet. You don't ever want to use psychedelics. All you do is wind up on the lower astral plane. So instead of switching from one universe to another, you notice how you mentioned death? It's not a good concept. It's probably a lower astral entity jerking your chain, as we say. So never, ever, ever use any kind of psychedelics. And that includes pot, anything. If you do that, you are going to be going to the lower astral. This is a natural technique. I know shamans in South America, they use the DMT. I'm well aware of that. You know something? They're welcome to their experiences. But for the patients I work with and for my ethical responsibility to your audience of millions of listeners, never use anything of any kind of artificial, especially psychedelic drugs. You are going to lose that game every time. And you don't know whether it's reality because these lower astrals have been around for billions of years. They know more than you do, okay? And they can jerk you around, and you won't know the difference.
This in, by the way, in London, that explosion just heard in a London tube train. We'll have more on that tomorrow, and I'm sure most local news and national news will have it too. Bruce, we're going to take final calls, but quickly give out that book offer again.
If they order the book, Exploring the Fifth Dimension, from my website, or they call the 1-800-527-6248, which is 1-800-KARMA, K-A-R-M-A, the number 4, the letter U, they get a free fifth dimensional travel CD, but they must buy the book. It's not relevant to any bookstore, just through my site. If they want to get the free written exercise and don't want to order the book, just get the written, not a CD, but the written exercise. If they call the toll-free number, I will send it to them. If you have a computer, though, don't call because everything is on the homepage with a lot more. There's 5 exercises, about 35 articles, 13 videos, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So that's the offer. But you must mention Coast to Coast. If you mention Coast to Coast, then I know who you are, and you'll get all the information.
Bruce, since you've been doing this, what has been the most compelling person you've ever dealt with?
Well, first of all, my favorite person is you.
Okay? Ah, you're too kind.
The compelling thing, when you say compelling, I would say a compelling example, only because it's a fun case, is a gentleman who went into a future life, and in his future life, he is a time traveler. And actually, he worked with Traxa, the time traveler, the first one I met, and we'll go into this in the next interview. I'll do the time traveler show. But he actually had a future life where he is a time traveler going back in time. I've never had that happen. I've never had a patient of mine actually be a time traveler. And that to me is, and he's a really nice guy. The other one that I would say is a compelling case is the one who I call him Bob and the Light People. He went to a past life, the very first life he ever had, in which he was nothing but pure light. He was an ET coming into the earth plane, and he got trapped into the karmic cycle. That was the beginning of the karmic cycle. So those two cases always stand out in my life, as well as, of course, the Search for Grace case, the documented.
Yeah, that's a great story.
I mean, Ivy, as I call her, not her real name. Those three, let's say, think of it as a trinity here, okay? Those three would be the ones that stand out in my mind.
Bruce, keep in touch, my friend, okay?
My pleasure.
Dr. Bruce Goldberg, website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. I'm going to be in Scottsdale tomorrow and Saturday at an afterlife event. All that information is at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Bowles, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.